And they were zealous in their commitment to Scripture. And they were so zealous in that they kind of missed the point. They were righteous in their lifestyles and dedicated to living untainted lives in the evil world in which they lived in. They just didn't want to be a part of that. In other words, they're a lot like us today. But in their pursuit of religious activity, they often just miss the point. The second week, we looked at adventure number one. Last week, we talked about that. Knowing the Bible is easier than living the Bible. We saw how the Pharisees did some wrong things with the right motive. They created an elaborate system of rules and some honest effort to help them keep the commandments of God, because they didn't want to slip back into what they were before, that God had sent them into the Babylonian captivity. So they made all these rules and these regulations to try to keep God's commandments. Today we're going to be focusing on adventure number two. Public performance is easier than private devotion. You know, as we'll see, the Pharisees frequently did the right things, but they did them for the wrong motives. Have you ever noticed how much pleasure there is in passing judgment? You know, I'm not just talking about criticizing people, but presuming to know their motives, their heart and their character. Can you just be honest and admit that sometimes we enjoy passing judgment? For instance, I'm usually extremely confident that every other driver on the interstate is absolutely wrong. They don't know how to drive. You know, and if they cut me off or they don't drive fast enough, whatever they're doing, they're reckless drivers and they just don't know how to drive. They need to learn how to drive. And all the time I'm saying, where did they get their driver's license? Or do they even have a driver's license? I like passing judgment on people on the road because they aggravate me. They make me upset. If someone in the store gives me poor service, I instantly take offense and judge them as maybe they are stupid or lazy. If we go to the bank and we stand in line behind slow people and it takes a long time to get to the front, you'd start thinking that maybe they can't even count money back, you know. They just don't know what they're doing up there. It's easy to pass judgment on people when it makes us upset. If I see someone who maybe dresses a little bit different, has a hairstyle maybe a little bit different, it's hard to not make judgments about them and about their character. I can look at people who make more money than I do, and I can judge them as maybe saying they're materialistic. They're not as holy as I am. And I can look at people that make less than I do, and I can maybe judge them as maybe they're lazy. They're not really trying. A person fatter than me has no self-discipline, and a person thinner to me is just vain and egotistical. We make judgments. I do all this naturally and easy in my head virtually every day of my life. And so do you. We all love to pass judgment on people, and this tendency gets worse instead of better when we take the spiritual matters in which we think are so important seriously. We act as if the ability to see the shortcomings to others is proof of our own righteousness. We love passing judgment on other people because it makes us feel better by comparison. The ability to see the sins of others makes us feel like we are more spiritual, more righteous, that we are more pious than other people. When was the last time you heard the word pious used? Have you ever heard it used in a positive context? The dictionary defines it as this. It is as an adjective meaning marked by or showing reverence for deity and devotion to divine worship. It also means marked by conspicuous religiosity, a hypocrite, a thing all pious words and uncharitable deeds, Charles Reed says. According to Warren Wisby, the great sin of the Pharisees was hypocrisy, the play acting based on pride. Their religion was external, not internal. It was to impress people, not to please God. They bound people with heavy burdens while Christ came to set people free. They loved titles and public recognition and exalted themselves at the expense of others. Today, I want us to look at this word, this piety. What is false piety? Today, Phariseeism has become almost synonymous with false piety. But as we've seen over the past few weeks, these Pharisees that we've been talking about were probably no more hypocritical than we are. This morning, I want us to look at two passages where Jesus talked about the difference between real piety and false piety. The first one, if you'll turn there with me, is found in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 9. And this is what it says. Luke 18, starting in verse 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you and that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but who humbles himself will be exalted. Virtually every world religion has defined acts that demonstrate adherence to that religion. In this passage, we see three common acts of piety that are found among devout people of almost every religion of this world. Look at the three things that the Pharisees focused on: giving, prayer, and fasting. The Pharisees were doing right things, good things, but they were doing them for the wrong reason. As Jesus tells this parable, he is not comparing the deeds of the two men in the story. He is comparing the attitudes of their heart. One came to the temple to pray while filled with pride. The other came to pray while full of humility. Jesus never criticized the Pharisees for their acts of piety. He takes them to task because acts of private devotion had become for them nothing more than public displays of religiosity. When our faith only affects the externals, pride is inevitable. To this day, people use things like giving, like prayer, and fasting as measuring sticks to compare themselves with other people. I do this since I'm very religious. Let's look at the second thing. What is true piety? Let's look at another passage here this morning. It's overfound in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at this passage that clarifies how we do right things, but we do them for the right reason. Let's read that text together. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, For they like to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father who will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. First of all, authentic piety is outward in love, not the act, but the motive. See, giving, whether you're talking about money, you're talking about your time or your talents, it's all about attitude in the New Testament. It's not about the legalistic act. Giving and serving and offering all you have is first about your heart, not about what you actually give. Look over with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we see here where Paul is writing, talking about giving. And Paul clarifies this for us in chapter 8. Look what it says there, starting in verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflows in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Look at the way they gave. First, he holds up this example of one of the poorest churches in the region, the Macedonians. They didn't have much. They've been under great affliction. He expresses that their giving is a mathematical equation. And it goes like this: overwhelming joy plus extreme poverty equals rich generosity. When the underlying attitude is right, the expression will be right as well, regardless of our circumstances. The attitude is what is most important. Then second, authentic piety is upward in prayer. See, the focus is on my relationship with God. That is why we pray. Not myself. Jesus told the crowd that when they prayed, they should remember who they were talking about. They're talking to their Father, Abba, their daddy. He told them they should remember whose priorities come first. Their Father's. They say there, your kingdom come. They should also remember the source of all resources. It says, give us this day our daily bread. And then they should remember to forgive as they have been forgiven. And they should remember that they need to avoid the source of evil. And then thirdly, authentic piety is inward in self-denial. See, I'm continually beating back the tendency towards spiritual pride. Disciplines like fasting are beneficial for spiritual formation. To set aside something you love, something necessary for a time, can either be a means of showing off, or it could be a means of saying to God, you are more important to me than food. You are more important to me than the internet. You are more important to me than the television that I watch or the things that I participate in. You provide me with more satisfaction than anything that I eat or anything that I do. God, you are the most important. See, the attitude of the Pharisees in prayer was this: I am not like other men. I'm different. I'm better. I'm special. See, he compares his act of righteousness to the unrighteousness of others. And guess what? He looks pretty good when he starts comparing himself to these other people. He has established a standard for measuring personal righteousness and a yardstick that he can take and judge other people. John Fisher says this: this is one of the greatest pleasures of passing judgment. It isn't a requirement to explain either the rules of the judgment to anyone. The fact is, one may raise and lower the bar at will. The purpose of this judgment is not a real betterment of anyone, nor is it to find the truth. To know what the real standard of judgment is and to put oneself under its scrutiny. Its purpose is only to establish a self-defined superiority over others. We call the shots, we make the rules, we draw the line in the sand, and then we step over it, leaving everyone else on the other side. It is a foolproof way to feel good about ourselves. See, that is the problem with passing judgment, when we want to compare ourselves to others, because we set the rules, we change however we feel it needs to be changed, and then we look down on everyone else. Proverbs 6:16 says this: there are six things that the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. The first on the list is haughty eyes. Haughty means blatantly and disdainfully proud. How about Proverbs 8:13, where it says, all who fear the Lord will hate evil. That is why I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverted speech. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. And Psalms 51:17 says this: the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And that is exactly what Joel was telling the people when he was prophesying to them the judgments that were coming upon the people. He says, God's not interested in your sacrifices. What he's interested in is you. He wants you to change. He wants you to surrender to him. He wants you to have that broken heart. He wants you to be different. See, our piety becomes nothing more than a public performance when pride is allowed to reign in our life. It is pride that leads us to minimize our own sins and maximize the sins of others. It is pride that leads us to make judgment of others. It is pride that leads us to believe that if we can show that I am better than someone else, anyone else, then I can think of myself as being worthy of God's love. In reality, the same things that foster pride can foster humility. If we are willing to re-examine our lives, re-examine our motives for the things that we do. One example is giving away something to which you are too attached to. Another is prayer that focuses on God, not on our wants. And a third is fasting, refraining from anything that distracts you from God. A humble heart changes everything. You see, that's the kind of devotion the Father loves and desires from every one of his children. Public performance is easier than private devotion. But to care more about impressing people than connecting with God is just one more adventure in missing the point. I want us to get ready to close. I want you to watch this video.